One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming back to the show. Thank you for making us part of your week. We're the Degenerates. I'm Ryan. That's Dave.
Hello.
Happy birthday, by the way, Dave.
Thank you, buddy.
And Bobby on the soundboard.
Woo, it's good to all be back. We haven't been together in like a month, I think.
That's not true, is it?
Yeah, because we did a live show, and then Dave and I did a follow-up intro. It was just me and Dave. And then last week, it was just me and you.
Right.
So it's been like three.
Well,
or
Dave
four
and
weeks.
I were on speaking terms at that point, so you know how it is.
We resolved that.
Yeah,
and plus we did a live show. We were all together at the live show. What
that,
are you talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah,
but that was like the week before and stuff. By the way, a little Easter egg for those of you guys who want to re-listen to the last episode. We had to record kind of on the fly, and Ryan was here, and I didn't have anyone to watch my son, so he was actually sitting right next to us as we recorded. And if you listen, you will hear him chiming in occasionally.
Yeah.
He had some good takes on stuff.
Yeah.
Now, little nugget about the live show. I wanted to throw this out there. The owner gave me an offer to do it regularly, the live podcast there, and the money was right, that'd be good for all of us. I turned it down for one main reason. There is one thing that I don't find amusing or cute or in any way acceptable is when there's a guy, and I know you guys talked about this guy when you did the intro to the last live podcast. There was a guy, as we mentioned, at the bar who was so goddamn faded that he couldn't stand. He had just, you know what, that kind of drunk where the guy almost has Tourette's?
Wouldn't it be great if he also couldn't talk? Like, then that would have solved all of our problems.
But it doesn't matter. When someone is so drunk that they're making everybody in the bar nervous with their unpredictability, or at the very least, just bothering everyone, you know, and just so inebriated, and they're able to continue getting shots from the bartender. I don't find that fucking funny at all. I don't think it's in any way acceptable.
I touched on this before that during the set where those guys came in, it turns out I had, I guess, sat in their seat. They'd been gone for 15 minutes and they came in and basically very loudly, "Get out of my seat. You're in my seat," and all this stuff. And I got the vibe from them, like, these guys absolutely want to fight. You know me, I'm a pacifist. I am like the stop fights at any cost type guy. And I thought to myself, like, this really feels like they want to fight. Like, they are looking for some trouble.
That guy, that guy was looking for a reason. In fact, some guys, I think Joshua Krebs was on stage, and just, like, the guy was, like, he had his fucking head in his arms, like, in and out of consciousness.
Right.
And at certain points, he would just tune in to Josh's set and go, he turned to his friend and go, "What'd that motherfucker say? What'd he fucking say? Is he talking shit on me?" And anytime someone is not even making eye contact with you, but you've deduced that they're talking shit, that is a very dangerous mindset to be in.
Best way to handle that situation is to give away a machete at the end of the show.
I was going to say, here's how you know he wasn't in his right mind, is when they came and were kind of being somewhat confrontational with me and asked me to leave, I had a fucking machete on my belt. It was the giveaway machete. I had it there, and I remember thinking to myself, well, I really hope this doesn't turn into a fight because I'm going to get in a lot of trouble.
So anyways, and right when I went in there, the guy was just saying to me, he's like, you know that drunk when you're on a loop and the guy just won't stop saying the same four fucking things to you and it gets goddamn annoying?
Yeah.
The guy just kept going, fucking commie. I don't want a fucking commie. I thought there was a band. I want to hear Disturbed. He said that. That's the band he fucking pulled out of it. I want to hear Disturbed. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. We're doing comedy. I don't want any comedy. I thought there was a band. I want to hear Disturbed. I'm like, I understand that, man, but you know. I don't know.
An oddly specific request.
I hear what you're saying. I just don't know what to tell you. And then he's like, "Yeah, well, I thought there was a band because I want to hear Disturbed."
That's
like,
how
Jesus.
How drunk he was, because nobody wants to hear Disturbed.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, as this guy is stumbling around, loudly announcing that he just got his hands in some coke. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
And, like, just loudly announcing it, and I'm like, okay. This guy is so fucking drunk. He's trying to fight people. He's like scaring chicks off. Like all the girls that came to the show were huddled in the corner away from this guy. And the bartender's watching all of it. The owner's watching all of it. I'm like, okay, well, he'll leave as soon as he goes to order another tequila, because that's what he was drinking. and he's cut off. Because the thing is, no drunk guy stays in a bar where he's been cut off. Yeah. He's going to go in search of more alcohol. And that's why you cut people off. I'm not concerned about that asshole's safety. Fuck him. I don't care if he gets alcohol poisoning and dies. Let him stroke out and sleep. Don't care. What I care about is them bothering every fucking person in that establishment. And then I know the mindset in a dive bar like this. It's always the same answer you get from bartenders and from owners, which is they're a regular and they spend a lot of money in here. I'm sure that's true. But listen, if you cut a guy off who's fucking wasted, he's going to come back nine times out of 10. He won't even remember he's been cut off. And number two, that guy is scaring off more business in that place than he is spending, okay? Think of how many people have like stopped in there for a beer and had to endure that guy's bullshit and now will never be back, right? So there's that. You're shooting yourself in the foot. And also, fuck you for like giving this guy more fucking tequila.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing, and we won't harp on it too long because we've already talked about it before, but when you are dealing with somebody like that, it is impossible to conduct a show. Like we were saying 2 weeks ago, the comedian Andrew Tarr, who was up there, was killing it, doing super well, and this guy walked in and demolished his set, completely destroyed it, can destroy the set after that, just ruined this show. You cannot compete with that. However, there is something that almost made me want to turn on a camera, film this, and juxtapose it as a reality TV show to like Last Comic Standing. Because everybody in the public thinks, oh, you do stand-up comedy, you go up in front of these audiences, you perform, how great, how nice. No. 9 times out of 10, there's a shithouse dude in a bar screaming at you as you're trying to do your set. You've got to work through it. This is what real stand-up comedy is at the lower levels, and you have to pay your time and do this sometimes, like in Ryan's case, for like 10 years. You have to do this. It is not easy. And I think that was the perfect example of not easy.
Horrible idea for a show, Bobby. Nobody wants to know how the sausage is made.
Right.
They just want
That's another thing. I felt good about accepting the money from the guy because I told him, listen, this is not an ideal place for this.
Right.
We've already tried this once. It's going to be tough for me to get people. I still got a handful of people in that shitty bar. That's probably the best Wednesday or Thursday they've ever had.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, it's not going to pack the place out. I can't bronze a turd, man. And he's like, I'll pay you some more money to do it. I'm like, yeah, okay. Anyways, I'm just now getting a little energy back, Bobby, because I was assigned a diet by my wife.
Wait, did you say doctor? You were assigned a diet by your doctor?
Oh, no. Uh-uh. No. All her friends are on this fad diet called the keto diet, which I believe you're on.
I have been on it. I got seriously out of shape when my wife got pregnant and had a kid, mainly because...
I'm also eating for two.
Yeah, exactly. No, because you can't go to the gym. Like, I'm the primary caretaker of the kid. I'm home with them for most of the day. So I eat like shit. I can't ever go to the gym. I can't exercise. You sleep poorly. It was just horrible.
Just lift the baby like a kettlebell?
Yeah, I just start throwing them around. I gained like 45 pounds in the time that she got pregnant till like now. And then basically said, oh, I can't do this. I got to get back in shape. I don't want diabetes. And so I just basically got on the keto, started exercising a bunch. And
is the keto, by the way?
Keto is high fat, zero carbs and sugar, essentially, or very low carbs and sugar, depending on how strict you are about it. I have not had sugar at all in 6 weeks. I have had essentially no carbs in 6 weeks. I am
The Splenda's okay, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I know you like your Coke Zero.
Right, because there's no actual sugar in it.
I would probably kill myself if I couldn't have sugar.
It's horrible. Let me tell you, for the first week, because I am a fucking sweet tooth, for the first week, it was hell. Walking through the candy aisle just felt like utter torture to me in the supermarket. And it's boring. Like, you can't even have fruit. Fruit has too much sugar.
See, now let me tell you what I got going on over here. I have modified the keto diet. So I'm doing what I call the degenerate diet. I'm making it myself. It's very similar.
It's just all coffee and cigarettes.
And Ritalin.
Yeah.
So
the next is just ranting on your front porch for an hour.
No, I get on the elliptical and I yell at the girl in front of me. So what I've done, because some people are gnarly with the keto diet. I have friends on it. That I think last year I went on vacation with some friends, and a couple of them were like, "Yeah, we're on the keto diet." I'm like, "I don't know what that means, but here, have a BLT." And they're like, "Like, no, tomatoes have too much sugar." I'm like, "All right, I'm not doing anything where fruits and vegetables are considered junk food.
You can't have too many onions. That's
I'm out." So no, but what I'm doing is, It's you don't lose as much weight, but I'm essentially on this diet so I can keep drinking beer and not get fat.
Well, that would be a horrible part of the keto. That would totally upend keto if you're still drinking
beer. That's right. That's right. No, no. So what I'm doing is zero carbs, no added sugar. So
By the way, you know beer is like all carbs, right?
Yes, but I'm doing low. Beck's Premium Light has only 64 calories, and I'm limiting it. I've lost 7 pounds in 2 weeks on the degenerate diet. Now, if you're on
also lost his will to do a lot of fun activities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the thing is, I did not want to go full strict keto, which Aaron wanted me to, because I'm like, no, because you don't stick to things. What's going to happen is I'm going to learn all this shit because I'm the cook in the house.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to support her. So I learned all these new recipes for keto, like spaghetti squash. You tasted that.
I did. It was very good.
I learned how to make mac and cheese and pizza crust out of cauliflower. You would never know the difference.
Wow.
You know what? You're coming over.
Okay.
This week, I'm going to make you Ryan's keto mac and cheese.
Okay.
So anyways, I learned to do all this shit, and then I found out she's sneaking desserts on me. I'm like, God damn it. That's why I did not want to do this with you, because you never stick to shit.
The keto thing is hard to do, but once you get past the first like week and a half, 2 weeks, then it gets much easier. Your sugar cravings go down. Like, honestly, sugar is quite a drug, and it's super bad for you. And I knew that. I knew that the whole time, but I'm a fucking sweet tooth. I love sugar, and it is super hard for me to give it up.
I refuse to adhere to the part of keto where fruit and vegetables are bad for you. I go, no added sugar. So for instance, I can't have lemonade because lemonade, they put sugar into.
Right.
However, if it's orange juice, if it's no sugar added, that's in play.
That's got a ton of sugar in it. It's almost all sugar.
Like, you know what? I can't have lemonade because I didn't add that sugar. That sugar was already in there.
Orange juice is what they give to people when they start going to diabetic seizures because they don't have enough sugar.
I've lost 7 pounds in 2 weeks, so fuck you both.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's an effective diet. You know, like I'm just past the 20-pound mark in the last five
Oh, you think you're better than me.
No, but it is difficult, and it's shitty, and it sucks, and you wish it wasn't there, and you're fucking tired of eating like carne asada raw with no vegetables and stuff. Now, you can't have vegetables. You just have to pick the right ones.
Yeah. So what things, by the way, have you guys been dragged into? Because like I said, I was just told we were on this diet.
Right.
And I just said, I even tried to resist it. I'm like, hey, let's just cut out desserts and go to the gym more first. And then if you're not happy with those results, we'll talk about this hardcore fad diet that you're only doing because all your friends are on it.
Well, I'm divorced, so I'm going to take a pass on this one because clearly I didn't write along.
Well,
with
but
the
see,
plan.
You don't need that because I think of a bunch of the times that I did this back when I was younger. You know, you would do something just for your partner, just because the girl you were dating asked you to do it. And I think about this when I was younger. I think every time I went to a club, it was either because I was trying to get laid from somebody I didn't know or because some girl I was dating wanted me to go.
Oh.
There was no time where I'm like, you know what's awesome? Let's go down to downtown, pay a $20 cover, then pay $11 a beer to sit around and dance to really lame music.
Yeah,
that sounds awesome.
I feel awkward dancing. I do not do it. The only time you'll see me dancing is when I'm doing it like as a joke. Like, hey, isn't it hilarious that I'm dancing?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why with Aaron and me and John Groobs and his soon-to-be wife, we have found a middle ground. They like to dance. John and I refuse to, but you can't just take them to a dance club and then release them on the floor with a bunch of hetero dudes dancing around. So that's why we compromise, and once in a while, we will take them to a gay club, and we release them on that dance floor with a head full of...
Just make out in the back.
Me and John hold up a wall, and they got dudes all over them, but they're in half shirts and Daisy Dukes, and we're fine with it.
Yeah, I like that plan. No, I think there's a lot of things that you do. Like now, currently with my wife, she loves to travel. I'm not a big travel person, so I always get dragged along to different places. But it's fine. You have some new experiences. You kind of do your thing. Sometimes those things, it's funny, that you get forced into, you end up liking or you end up doing because...
I do like the spaghetti squash.
Yeah, the spaghetti squash is fucking bomb, dude.
It was pretty good.
And then sometimes you're like, wow, I'm glad I tried that. So I never have to do it again.
Yeah.
So one girl I was dating in my 20s took me to like a painting class. She's like, hey, it's really fun. You sit down, you drink some wine, and then you paint whatever they have out there. And I was like, I'm not a huge wine fan. I'm not a huge painting fan.
Can
I'll give it a shot.
Can we go to something with whiskey and markers? That's a little more risky.
And I'll never forget this because it was like one of those Groupon type classes, and we went and it.
How about kegs and colored pencils?
I walked in and I immediately realized I had made a mistake because 25 women and me. And I'm like, I'm the only...
Mistake!
Bobby's like, I like these odds. Yeah.
No, again, I'm there with a date. And
yeah, but you can upgrade.
Yeah, trade up, man.
Trust me, you should have seen the women. There was no upgrades in this.
Oh, yeah, the arts and craftsy types are never your smoking hot crowd.
And I think we're the only people under the age of 40 by a decade. Like, so...
They all watch the Hallmark Channel for the movies.
Yeah, and so we get there, we start, and I immediately go like, okay, I'm the only guy who was stupid enough to get suckered in out of all of these women, some of which possibly have dates. I'm the only one who got suckered in. So we start doing like the art thing, and I'm totally not into it, obviously, but I'm whatever. I'll paint some stuff. Let's have some fun. I'm doing it. No joke. It's like the art instructor is doing duck, duck, goose, and I'm goose. So she's going around the circle. You're in a circle. You're painting something in the middle, and she's going around to all the other women. She's like, "Oh, that looks great. Oh, nice brush strokes. You're doing a really good job shading." And then when she gets to me, I'm goose, and she's like, "You could put a little bit more effort in." And then
she was negging you.
She was.
Oh my God, the instructor was negging you. That's amazing.
And she would go around, and I painted. I started painting.
To be fair, he just painted a big swastika.
I was paying attention. She just went by everybody. Like, I swear to Christ, she could have gone by another middle-aged woman's canvas that was completely blank and been like, "That's really intuitive. You're doing a really amazing and different job."
Can I offer just maybe a theory here?
Sure.
I'm thinking the types of women that go to painting and wine night by themselves and are probably a little overweight, if I'm picturing it right.
Right.
Maybe a little bit emotionally fragile. I'm thinking she read the room and she was like, "So," and then Becky looked up, biting her lip, going, and she was like, "Great job." And then she sees you, who couldn't give a fuck, and went, "All right, I can give some notes here."
Only that, but all the other women are like, "There's a man here."
Yes.
Oh, they were all like a little bit intimidated, so she had to fucking knock you down a peg.
There was certainly a little bit of like, "You are interrupting our time."
Yeah.
"You shouldn't. This is not your place. This is our place."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Yeah, I know it's not my place. I didn't want to be here."
Yeah. Hey, if you could tell my day that I'm not allowed to be here, I'd be psyched about it.
I was honestly hoping that you were going to get up and critique everyone else's artwork. I thought that would be amazing.
But it felt like Duck, Duck, Goose, because she'd go around the entire circle, and it was like 20 women, and be like, "Oh, great. Oh, looking very good. Becky, that's fantastic. Such an improvement from last week. I mean, you might want to use some more colors."
Bobby just has a stick figure hung by a noose. I'm expressing myself.
That leads into a very interesting social experiment that two of our friends conducted on Facebook that I thought was fairly genius. So I saw the original post of our friend Candace, a comedian, a local comedian. She's a very attractive young lady. And she put up a post with a picture of Charlize Theron saying, "I wish I was as attractive as her."
Yeah, it's a not uncommon practice among women is like fishing for compliments.
Right.
Yeah.
And
she said, "I wish I was this beautiful."
And when I saw that, I know Candace, we go way back. I'm like, I was a little bit disappointed in her because I did not know this was a social experiment. Like,
right.
Well, you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I was like, I'm like, "You usually aren't the type that would be this blatant and shameless about obviously fishing for compliments."
Right,
this
right.
is just, if I expect no less than 10 people to chime in with like, "You're so much more pretty than her."
Yeah, yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
Of course.
There were comments that came in, of course, mainly dudes, but women as well. "Oh, you are." Or, "Shut the fuck up. You have no idea how fucking gorgeous you are. If you'd let Freddie photograph you, you'd see what everyone else does."
Who the fuck is Freddie?
Well, okay, so that gets explained. Because what ended up happening is another comedian friend of ours, Bill Gibran, who's like probably the most ripped comedian that I know in San Diego.
He's a pretty buff dude, yeah.
He put up a picture of a wrestler, some
Randy Orton, who, by the
Ryan
way, I get, there's a very common inside joke among comedians that I look like Randy Orton.
I can see that.
After every fucking show, at least one person comes over and goes, "Hey, Randy Orton." So I thought he was making fun of me when he posted that.
Yes, because I didn't know about the social experiment, obviously, and I didn't see Candace's post. I saw Bill's post. And I'm like, "Oh, he's making fun of Ryan."
Yeah, I thought he was making fun of me. So the first comment on Bill's, if you'll read it.
Well, Bill said, "I wish I was as beautiful as this guy. Oh, well." And Ryan said, "Thank you." But everybody else kept typing in. And it was obviously comedians joking, as they should be. Things like, "Keep wishing, Bill."
Yeah, or, "Wishing in one hand, shit in the other."
One of them was, "Get a razor blade."
Whoa.
Yeah. And my other was like,
"Kill yourself."
Yeah, get
wow.
some tattoos and stuff. And it was a juxtaposition. And this was a brilliant experiment because they are in similar circles. They have similar friends, and yet it's one very attractive young lady putting up a post that is essentially the female and identical again, equivalent.
And again, Bill's an in-shape dude. It's not, yeah. it's not like an ugly dude fucking said, I wish I was right. this, and then you have to compare it to a hot girl saying this. Right. They're both good-looking people.
Yes, yeah. And the support, the overwhelming support on one side versus the other was hilarious. So Candace posted this a little bit later. I ran a social experiment. Bill Gibran started the whole thing. His hypothesis was correct. No one told him he looked better than this guy, and I booked a photo shoot. She literally booked a photo shoot from
Jesus.
It.
Oh my God. And by the way, because you get twofold on the women one. It's the support of women that go, oh my gosh, I felt that way before. Let me chime in and try and boost your self-esteem. And then you got guys going, now's my chance.
Yes, oh, 100%. If I just tell her she's pretty, then maybe she'll bang me. And I think she's like married with kids and stuff. Like it's so outlandish, but guys are like, there's a chance.
Yeah, there's
0.01 a chance. I'm playing the odds. And they totally went for it, and it was so funny, like that difference of super supportive nature, super unsupportive nature. And let me tell you, both of them are unhealthy. Both of them are dramatically unhealthy. And if you do this, if you are, especially if you are the, oh, girl, shut the fuck up, you are so fun. I'm sorry to say this, you're trash. You are ruining the fucking world. You have no idea what you're doing, because here's what you do. You create a false sense of inflated ego that has to then be supported by other people around you, because if she puts that, then somebody else has to put something even more over the top.
Yeah,
I'd fucking shoot myself in the face if you didn't think you were beautiful. And it gets ridiculous, and it takes away a realistic aspect of dialogue and people being honest with each other, and like it just creates this totally fake world. And when I see that, I think, you are the disgusting people of this generation. Anytime you see somebody who does like a vague booking post, right, where they're like, it's just too much, I guess today's finally the day or something, and then you have a whole bunch of people latch on, hey man, what is it? What's wrong? You're the best, no problem. You are creating a monster.
Yeah. You know what? Just last week, I don't think I did the right thing, but I was having kind of a very bad week, and I just put up something, that, not to fish for sympathy or anything like that, but I just said something along the lines of like, sometimes holding yourself together takes up all your time or something like that. It was not to be like, hey, guys, this is a cry for help.
He booked a photo shoot out of it.
It was kind of like, I sometimes like, because I'm always posting jokes online. Sometimes I like to put something out there like, yo, it's okay to be sad sometimes, just for all of you. So, I mean, that was but I got a lot of like, you know, are you okay? I'm like, shit, I hope I didn't worry anyone, you know what I mean? And it, like, that's the one thing I have to worry about when you vague book, how many people are you worrying? How many people, you know, are see it as something other than it is? You know what I mean?
Well, obviously, the fact that you saw it and I saw it and both kind of know Candace, or at least for posting, and know that there was something up with that, and then she seems way too secure to be putting that kind of stuff up there. We knew there was something wrong because she is not this person. However,
patting myself on the back real quick, I commented on Candace's post, I wish you were too.
But there are these people. There are these people who just use these social media platforms as a constant, weird, reaffirming, fishing for comments. And then there are the sycophants who give it to them. And I look at it like a heroin addict and their drug dealer. And you
no,
guys,
more like their enabling mom.
Yeah, it could be that too. Like
if I don't give them $20, they might steal for it. So I'd rather...
I think we as a society need to adopt a policy where from now on, when we see that compliment fishing, we get some kind of crew together, that get like Russian troll farms that get together and just start being like, yeah, you could really use some time in the gym. Or whatever it is.
Ooh, Russian troll farm. Good name.
Vigilante mob justice.
Yes. You go after those people who are seeking that kind of constant approval, and you not only go after them, you go after the people who give them that constant approval. Those people need to be taken down. You're creating sociopaths. You need to stop.
Here's I actually saw something very similar to this a couple weeks back. A friend of mine up in LA, buddy of mine, not super good friends. I know him, you know, a little, or acquaintances, but he did a vague book post.
Okay.
And it was something, I can't remember what it was, because all these posts have since been deleted, but something like, I wish I was dead, or something like that. Very simple and very... Like,
hashtag me too!
But then all these people, I didn't follow it, because I'm like, you know, I'm cynical, I'm jaded, I'm like, I see that shit all the time, I don't give a fuck. So I just kept on with my day, but turns out a couple days later, I found out that thread grew into this huge thing, like everyone being like, as you would guess, are you okay, whatever. But no, it went to the point where like, that guy posted again a couple days later that apparently
now I'm dead.
Someone had called the police and sent the police to his house. So the police showed, he lives with his parents. Police showed up at his parents' house at midnight.
No wonder he wishes.
Caused huge drama. They basically forced him to go to the ER to do some screening, like mental health type stuff, whatever.
Good!
And so he was pissed now. He was pissed that someone actually called the police, that he had to go through this. His parents worried. He was stuck with all these medical bills. And I was like, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah, what did you think was going
to
come out of
You're
that?
Either serious, in which case, let's get you to a hospital. That's a serious condition. We need to make sure you don't kill yourself. That's a big deal. Or you're not, in which case, fuck you for writing it.
Right. Yeah, that's a thing that I am constantly fucking harping on is Facebook. These aren't all your actual friends, all right? This is not the place to say, hey, everyone, my boyfriend beats me. I'm leaving him. Hey, everyone, I wish I was dead. Hey, everyone, I wish I was this beautiful. You know, like, these
Ryan,
are
your
things,
boyfriend will come around.
Shit. These are things that you tell to your actual circle of friends in real life. And if you don't have any friends, maybe you get off Facebook and go fucking make some.
See, here's the thing that I found interesting, though. On his second post about how this got out of hand and now he's got all these bills and some asshole called the cops on him, what I found interesting is, like, most of his Facebook friends were taking his side. Like, yeah, that is fucked up. Man, who the fuck did that to you? There are only a couple voices of reason saying, right, hey, you look like you were in a bad spot.
Yeah.
That's what we
Someone
need more of.
Someone should call for help. There's only a handful
we
of
We need
those.
A Russian troll farm there full is, of those people.
There is such a lack of honest objectivity in yes. Facebook. Like, someone yeah. posts something and most of your friends will just side with that 100%, no questions asked, and that's fucked up.
And yeah. it's the polar opposite of the super aggressive person who's just looking for confrontation. You know that person who yells, like, those kids in the Parkland shooting are Nazis, or like just the person who goes, I want to go to the far extreme and piss people off. It's the opposite of that that is just as dangerous, which is the overly supportive, you can do nothing wrong because you're right. my friend. I'm going to say whatever you will make you happy. You know what you're doing? You're reinforcing negative thoughts and negative beliefs. That guy should take ownership and say, either I was in a place where I should go to the hospital because I was going to kill myself. I'm thankful somebody did that. Or I was being melodramatic. It's my own idiot fault. I deserved that and these medical bills.
Well, those people also foster, I think, a sense of entitlement.
Yes.
It's like they make yeah. everyone feel like, oh, yeah, I do deserve
You're
everything.
Validating
yeah.
that action.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
And you know what? You're shooting yourself in the foot if you don't have honest friends around. Because yes, honestly, yeah. like, how many times, Dave, have I come to you and I've been like, hey, is this hacky? And you've been like, yeah, if you have to ask, man. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. And now that shit does not make it into my act. That's just a small example.
Yeah.
You know, I need that. If you guys were just a bunch of yes men to me, how much worse would I be at everything?
You are right. absolutely right. You have never been more right about anything. That is a fantastic point.
Having honest people around
you. I wish
you,
I was more right.
Having honest people around you is essential to being a healthy individual. It's what we see is wrong with insulated strongmen. I'm not going to mention our particular president. Let's just say Putin. Whatever it is, if you're an isolated person who just dictates what's right and wrong, you're Kim Jong-un, you're never going to make wise decisions because everything that comes to the top of your head is suddenly right.
A lot of our listeners are MMA fans. This is the John Jones problem.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
just surrounds himself with people who validate everything he does. No one ever says, like, hey, dude, you got to fucking rein it in.
That's right. why I had to explain to some people about celebrities is, because, for instance, this is a weird story. This nurse I used to work with when I was in healthcare, her son was on, like, a upper echelon basketball team, youth basketball team, that, like, traveled and shit. Uh-huh. You know, one of those things that they sink all their money into.
Right.
But one of the, like, coaches of the team was Ving Rhames. His son was on it. And so, anyway, she had, on a regular basis, dealt with Ving Rhames. And the thing is, anytime she was upset at work, she's like, I don't understand why he would treat me like this. I'm like, well, what happened? She's like, well, I questioned him on something, and he, like, you know, flipped out on me. I'm like, you have to understand that anyone
he
that
did a speech from Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he was fucking with Marcellus Wallace. What do you expect?
You see that right there? That's pride.
Are you Mrs. Wallace? That's the only person who gets to fuck Marcellus Wallace.
But I had to explain to her, you know, you're dealing with someone who's surrounded by yes people all the time. Yeah. So if you question him, which is something that he's not used to happening for, like, the last 20 years, that's the reaction you're going to get. Is it fair? Is it right? No. No, it's not.
But also, I'm looking at the other side where, like, maybe she's just like, oh, my son doesn't do anything wrong. And maybe yeah. she's getting a reality check of, like, that's hey, true. Your son's not very good.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe that's it.
I just keep imagining Ving Rhames revoking her son's LA privileges.
I mean, I don't know. I can't believe, like, how little objectivity to this. It just blows my mind. Like,
yeah.
There's an entire culture of not honest people. I actually feel a lot for a lot of women, because a lot of women don't get that honesty. It depends your friend group. Some of them have really close friends and they are able to be honest with one another. But a lot of times it's ridiculously over-supportive bullshit. And
hey guys,
it doesn't help anybody.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Uh-huh?
How many times have you ever said good set to somebody? Yeah, you're part of the problem. Yeah.
I don't do that anymore, specifically. Like,
really?
Especially if a comic is bad. Yeah. We all know, like, the worst comic in town, and, like, every once in a while I'll see him do a set, and he's so delusional, like, he thinks he did great when there was silence for 8 minutes.
That's the guy that dressed up in the poo costume?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he would come off stage and be like, that was pretty good, huh? I was like, eh, you're up there for 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I'll say something true.
You
like,
did your time. I'll give you that much.
Yeah, well, it's certainly you need to distinguish. I mean, there's a difference between professional courtesy and being like, okay, nice set as you walk up on the stage or something, and being like the first time we saw Andrew Tarr when he came off set. I was like, dude, you're fucking great. How have I not heard you before? Fantastic. Yeah. Way to go. Nice set. And
right.
And that is a big difference. You don't say that facetiously to somebody. Otherwise, your words mean nothing.
I used to do a joke that nice set to comics is like what's up to regular people. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. I have a pet peeve with this one. I always say, how's it going? And the people that go, ugh, not good. I'm like, you know what? I wasn't really asking. Yeah. Half the time, I'm not doing well, okay? I always say I'm good.
Wait, hold on. Ryan, I think I got the solution to your problem. Let's do some role play. I'll be Ryan.
Okay.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, not good. I just...
Nice set.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that just walking on the street. Like, hey, how's it going? Oh, not good. Nice set. What are you talking about? I don't know. Say that for
your opener.
To be really honest, when I say nice set, what I mean is you didn't run the light.
Yeah,
like you got on there, you did your thing, whatever happened. You didn't run the light. Somebody else got to get on. You didn't impede the next comic's work.
So what if they weren't good and they ran the light? What do you say?
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Say, here, you want a weapon.
Actually, I've been doing this at Kumite. Very few times do people run the light because it's such a shitty room that you don't want to be up there very long. But I do this now where I afterwards I go up to them and be like, oh, yeah. Sometimes it's hard to see. The light is at the booth 5.5 feet in front of you. I just explain to them where the light comes from.
I'm looking at our notes here. It says Nazi pug. What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know. So clearly you haven't heard of this. Bobby, have you heard of the Nazi pug story?
What's a Nazi pug?
This is a fascinating story to me because, I'll just tell you what happened. Last year at some point, some guy in Scotland, he made a video and put on YouTube. And basically the premise was him and his girlfriend live together. She has a pug and she adores her pug. She thinks it's the cutest thing in the world. So he made a video. He's like, hey, I'm just messing with my girlfriend. She keeps going on about how cute this pug is. I thought it would be funny to turn it into the complete opposite, the least cute thing ever. I'm going to turn this pug into a Nazi. So they put up a video of the dog watching a Hitler speech on TV. He trained it to raise its arm when he says Sig Hail.
Oh,
and he trained it to bark when he says Jew or something like that. So they put this video up. Video took off.
Of course it did. That's hysterical.
He got arrested.
Why? Oh, that's right, because the UK...
He got arrested and taken to court, and he was found guilty of being grossly offensive.
Right.
That was the charge.
People don't realize this. In the UK, it is illegal to spread hate speech.
Well, it's illegal to deny the Holocaust.
Yeah.
I don't know how far it goes beyond that.
No, well, for instance, here's how far it goes. The band Kiss, right? You know, everyone's familiar with how the band Kiss writes their name.
Sure.
And the S's closely resemble the double lightning bolts, right?
Which is ironic because Gene Simmons is Jewish from Israel.
Yes. So, I mean, they're clearly not... Well, actually, Ace Frehley might be. That's a whole different thing. But when they tour the UK since the 70s and through today... They have to write their name differently on posters.
They have to leave the S's off. We're Kai.
Yeah, they write the S's differently.
That's strict. That's crazy. And also, do they not understand the point? If it wasn't something horrible that he said, this is a horrible thing for which I am comparing it to, there'd be no joke. The entire point of the joke.
Right. So now, he is currently awaiting sentencing. Now, he was found guilty by a judge. He's awaiting sentencing. He's being sentenced by a judge, not a jury. There's no jury. It's just a judge. And he's concerned that the judge is going to try to make an example out of him because how big this story has gotten. He can get up to a year in prison.
That's not fair.
For making this video. Now, a lot of comics, Ricky Gervais in particular, are defending him, saying, listen, dude, You can't have free speech yes. and say, well, not that, though.
Yeah. Yes. And it's not even like this guy is saying, I'm promoting Nazi values.
Right.
I believe the Holocaust was fake. He is using this as an example of what is wrong, thereby demonizing the side that should be demonized.
Right.
Yeah. Here's what's funny. Wouldn't it be funny if someone was this horrible? That's
and,
the
and
joke.
People are saying, no, not funny. You go to jail.
Yeah. Yeah. If you honestly believe that, you're like the worst human being. You literally either are too dumb to understand the point of it, which is that he's denigrating Nazi beliefs and that entire thing, or you don't give a fuck about the actual reality of the situation. You're just knee-jerk reacting to something you saw.
Right. Because, I mean, realistically, he's not even spreading hate speech.
No!
Which is what people are saying.
No.
And so it's becoming this really scary case. I mean, obviously it doesn't really impact us in America, but still over in Europe, it's kind of a scary thing. Like, what's the precedent going to be set now?
There's very few times that I think the word slippery slope is often misused a lot, but I think this is one of those few cases where, yeah, that is a slippery slope.
I don't even think it's a slippery slope, because slippery slope implies what comes next. It's like, no, this right here
is
wrong.
Next. This is next.
There is no slope. We're off the side of the slope and plummeting to the ground.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Where's it end? Here. Yeah. This is the worst case scenario.
Yeah. So yeah. That's going on right now, and I'm just kind of curious to see, like, where this goes. Obviously, as comics especially.
Yeah.
Like, because this guy was trying to be funny, and that's what we all do is try to be funny.
Right.
So it's like, can we actually be told you're not allowed to talk about this?
And you've done Holocaust jokes, or you've done World War II jokes before.
Yeah, some girl tried to stab him in Lakeside for it.
I've dabbled.
Yeah. I've done it before. I had I had some jokes about, like, kamikaze pilots in World War II. And one of the things, and I would like bring it up, people would be like, boo. And I was like, oh, really? You're on the side of the Nazis then? Because it's just literally like, oh, I hear a joke about something that happened during World War II. I better show I'm offended so that everybody knows exactly how I feel about anti-Semitism.
Listen, good humor is about pushing it to the very edge. But you cannot find that edge without going over occasionally.
Yeah.
And that is, and we can't start jailing people just for when they accidentally tiptoe over. But I don't even think this guy was over.
No.
Bobby, oh shit, Bobby, I just realized what's happening. We do have vigilante mob justice, but they're on the wrong team.
That's true.
Yep.
I think we need to organize a Russian troll farm of comedians who go after either people who make stupid points. Like this judge, whoever's this judge in the Scotland cases, should be hounded until he quits his job and his wife divorces him.
Yeah.
How dare you assume his gender?
And his sexual orientation, I guess. Anybody who is doing these fishing for compliments, looking for sympathy, just kind of blatantly abusing the social media thing, they need to be taken down. We just need to get a bunch of people together in a warehouse in East County and slowly fix the world through social media.
So that's you. That would be your vigilante justice for this?
Oh, yeah.
On that note, let's play our new vigilante justice theme song that our good friend Justin Hendrick has created for Bobby. Bobby? Yeah, so we'll be playing that after every vigilante justice segment from now on.
No, before, right?
Before and after. Before and after.
And during.
And during, yeah.
That's the new segment.
So anyway, yeah, thank you, our buddy Justin Hendrick, for doing that for us. All right, before we wrap it up here, got to make sure I plug this again. That fundraiser that we're doing, the shitting for Chuck and Kelsey, our good friends of the show.
April 13th, right?
April 13th
at the Kensington Club
here in San Diego.
I already got my tickets.
Tickets are $10 pre-sale, $12 at the door. It's going to be the Strikers, the Screaming Yeehaws, and the Misfits tribute band, The Fiends. It's going to be a great night. There's also a raffle with a lot of cool stuff. Go to eventbrite.com to get your pre-sale tickets for cheap. That's, again, April 13th, Friday the 13th at the Kensington Club. All proceeds go to helping a displaced family. All right. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week, cruising with the twos.
I'd fucking shoot myself in the face if you didn't think you were beautiful.
Yeah, time passing by. Oh, that time passing by. Oh, motherfucking time is passing by.